right, friends. Well, again, I'm so glad you're here. It's a beautiful opportunity to think about and talk about, study even, about Thanksgiving. So we're going to take a break from our normal series, which is going through the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to jump back into it next week with a really important Matthew 16, one of the most important chapters in that gospel. But today I want to talk about thankfulness and giving. And here's why. It's really important for people of faith to understand the importance of gratitude. It's powerful. It's part of our worship. We have to be grateful for all the things God has given us. And being grateful or thanksgiving or the giving of thanks or just gratitude is mentioned 100 times in the Old Testament, 70 times in the New Testament. And there's an emphasis on thankfulness. And I believe that we as believers should be the most thankful people in the world. Now, I know America celebrates Thanksgiving, and I'm glad they do. I think it was initiated by Abraham Lincoln in 1863 during the Civil War. It was made as official date on the calendar the last Thursday of November in 1941 as an act of Congress. And it's great that they do that. The government does that. We are given the day off to give thanks and eat turkey. But as believers, we have a focus on being grateful that's beyond Thanksgiving. We know to be grateful all through the whole season. Why? Because the Lord has done so much for us, and we know it. We can see clearly God's hand in our life. When things happen for us, when we're provided for, when we have breath in our lungs, food on the table, we know that it's not just happenstance. It's from the Lord's hand to us. And we have to be grateful for what God's done. For every one of us has come into this room. We woke up this morning. Gratefulness number one. We were able to get into our car and come here to the upper room. Whether you took the stairs or the Adventure Vader, you got up into the upper room. Grateful. We have food on our table. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What's the will of God for us? To give thanks, to start out with gratitude. And when you start out with gratitude, everything of blessing will follow. I'm telling you this, I believe this. When we have grateful hearts, we are opening the door for blessing to follow. Gratitude is powerful and is also very contagious. You know, when you're around grateful people, you want to be grateful too. I love to hang out with grateful people, people that say thank you a lot. People, you know, you go to the diner with them, and every time the waitress comes by and gives you new coffee or a bottle of ketchup, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's like, you don't have to say thank you, you're paying for it. No, you say thank you. Have gratitude in your heart. Out of the depth of the heart, the mouth speaks. We talked about that. And when we have gratitude in our hearts, we're verbalizing it, we're giving thanks. And this is the will of God for in Christ Jesus for us, is to be those type of people, to be grateful. In everything, give thanks. I've noticed that the happiest people I know are the most grateful people I know. And you might say, well, they're grateful because they're so happy. Everything's going well in their life. It's not always true. They're not always the people that, you know, are considered the most successful or the fortunate or the well-to-do. Oftentimes, people that are struggling, you know, people that have very little are also very grateful. It's not because of what we receive, but it's because of what's within us that we give thanks. That's why it's called thanksgiving, not thanks receiving. Psalm 50:23 says this, he who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. Now think about that, thanksgiving as a sacrifice. We're going to talk about that a little bit because worship really is sacrifice. I mean, it all started in, you know, the worship of, in the Old Testament, it didn't start with a stage with a great band playing songs we like. When you wanted to worship the Lord, you went to the temple. And what did you do when you went to the temple to worship the Lord? Yes, you sang songs, but you also brought a sacrifice, whether it was a turtle dove or a lamb or a goat or an oxen, whatever it was for that occasion, you would bring the sacrifice and you'd lay it out there and you would present that to the Lord as your offering. But it comes with thanksgiving, according to Psalm 50. We are offering with thanksgiving. There used to be a song that was popular. It's not anymore, but all the old worshipers will remember this with me. And it was, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, right? And we offer up to him the sacrifices of thanksgiving. It doesn't mean we come with, you know, turkey and cranberry sauce and present it on the platform. No, we're offering the sacrifices of thanksgiving, a thankful heart. We bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord. And when we look at it this way, worship this way, we don't come to worship and say, okay, I'm sitting in my seat. Now, bless me. Play my favorite song or I'm not getting up. No, we come with thankfulness. We come to present. It's our breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise. We come to bless him. And what blesses him? What is his will? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thankfulness, thanksgiving, has everything to do with our attitude in worship. And I have this funny story. I had a friend. I do have a friend. Actually, I haven't seen him for a while. Not sure if we're still friends. Wrote some songs together. Wonderful songwriter in Nashville. We wrote Ruach HaKodesh on Ali's CD and others. But he had a very, very big song with Amy Grant. He wrote El Shaddai with Michael Card. This guy named John Thompson, who's part of my church and one of our worship leaders. And he tells this funny story where he's driving from Memphis to Nashville with his friend Randy Scruggs, who is a country, old country guy. And they had just finished a bunch of like country gigs in Memphis. And now they're doing a Christian worship event in Nashville. And he, in his own words, he says, we weren't feeling very spiritual, put it that way. After a bunch of country gigs in Memphis, we weren't feeling very spiritual. So on the 3-hour drive, we're just trying to just kind of get into a spiritual mindset. And he's like, you know, he's like, okay, Randy, we gotta prepare for this. I mean, praying up and thinking and blessing the Lord and reading some psalms and just reciting this phrase to themselves, Lord, prepare me, you know, to be a place of worship, a sanctuary. So he's like, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Purify me. Make me holy with thanksgiving. Do you guys know the song? Exactly. Lord, prepare me. Come on, Tasha. To be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. You see how the thread between worship and thanksgiving, sacrifice, offering, sanctuary, there's this undeniable thread that we are thanking the Lord. And when we have grateful hearts, we are grateful worshipers. We're powerful worship. And remember, it's thanksgiving, not thanksgetting. There's a big difference. Thanks, grace. The word thanks actually comes from the Germanic danke. But the word that most of the romantic languages use for thanks sounds more like grace, doesn't it? In Latin, it's gratias. But what is it in Italian? Come on. All right. Gracias. Very good. How about in Spanish? Gracias. These are words that come from the actual word of grace. This is all about grace, receiving the gift of grace and giving thanks for the grace. How many of you, when you were growing up, your family said grace? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me just count. There's 17, 18, 19 of us. No, all of you know what I'm talking about. You say grace. I grew up in a big family, all right? My mom was Jewish. My father was Italian Catholic. There was 12 of us, 6 sons, 6 daughters. Our table was a long table with benches, 6 sons on one side, oldest to youngest. I was the youngest. On the other side was the daughters, oldest to youngest. We sat by my mom. Dad sat on the other side. Nobody would touch a morsel of food until Dad came, sat down, and said grace. Exactly. And since he was Italian Catholic, he would say, bless us, O Lord. You know it. Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we are about to receive through thy bounty in Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, that was his way of saying thanks, and we all said it. And then after that, we would eat. In our family today, we say a prayer of thanks. We talk about, you know, the blessings we have, bless our day. But we don't start eating until we say thanks, giving thanks to the Lord. It's a beautiful tradition, but it's more than that. It's a posture of the heart to know that we don't just presume and assume that God always provides and we don't make mention of it. We give thanks for what he provides for us. You know who gave thanks more than anyone, it seems, in the New Testament? Jesus. Jesus was very thankful. You think about it. We just read recently in our study of Matthew, the feeding of the 5,000 plus, feeding of the 4,000 plus. I say plus because 5,000 men plus their women and children that were with them. Each time before he did the miracle, he took the fish, he took the bread, and he gave thanks. And that's when the miracle occurred. I think about the road to Emmaus, which is a beautiful story in Scripture where it was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. He walked the road to Emmaus, a seven-mile journey to the town of Emmaus, and he did it in a kind of a funny way, incognito. I don't know what he was wearing, a hood, a robe, something, but the two believers that he walked with didn't know who he was. And he was saying, well, they were saying, didn't you hear what happened in Jerusalem this weekend? No, tell me about it. Oh, well, Jesus of Nazareth, you know, some believe he was a Messiah. And he walked with them, and then he gave them the greatest Bible study that ever was. He told them from the beginning of Scripture to the end all the things pertaining to himself. They still didn't know who he was. And he sat with them after they convinced him to break bread and eat with them. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks. And it says, boom, at that moment, we identified him. We knew who he was. He says, our hearts burned within us. We knew when he gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks. Even the Last Supper. Think about the most poignant part of the Last Supper. Now, the Last Supper, as you know, is the last Seder. It's a Passover Seder that Jesus gathered in the upper room with his disciples. And at a certain point in that dinner, he broke bread and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, take this, eat this, and remember to me. After supper, he took the cup, and before he did anything, he gave thanks. He probably said the ancient prayer, which is 500 BC plus, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. He gave thanks and gave it to his disciples. Jesus was grateful. We need to be grateful and remember that his gratitude was to God himself, and he directs us to do likewise. But you think to yourself, how could you be grateful in tough times? You know, it's easy to be grateful when it seems like everything's going our way. Then we give thanks. But what about when circumstances are hard? What about when there's struggles? What about when there's tragedies or grief? Sometimes it seems impossible to utter any type of gratitude. But you know what? These are the times we need to not just say grace, but receive grace. I believe that the Lord gives us grace, even enough grace to thank him. Sometimes the words of our mouth are because of the meditations of our heart, and those meditations are of the Lord. You know, I talk sometimes about the worship team. Like, we show up in the morning, and they're here, bright and cheery, telling us to worship the Lord and directing us to worship the Lord and having a great time and leading us into worship. Well, what if they have a bad day? You know, I thought it said this earlier. Like, what if John or Dave had a flat tire on the way or some type of real struggle or got a terrible phone call? Like, do they just get up and say, okay, you know, I'm a Jersey guy. I got to be real with you. I'm not feeling it today, but you can, you know. No. So what do? Fake it? No. You say that the word of God is true regardless of how I feel. He is gracious to me regardless of the circumstances I'm experiencing right now. Because in everything or in all circumstances, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. What does the psalm say? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. You have to bend your will to rejoice. You have to bend your will to give thanks, even in tough times. You need to think about when, I said it earlier, when Thanksgiving was instituted, 1863, Abraham Lincoln, the country was a mess. You think the country's at odds now? That was the middle of the Civil War. 1941, Congress institutes last Thursday of November, the world was a mess. World War II was raging, starting to heat up to the global conflict that it became. Those are the times you've got to be able to say, I will give thanks. And trust his word and not your feelings. If you're trusting your feelings, you're not going to give thanks. If you just trust your feelings, you're saying, you know, and everything complain because this is the will of God. No. I was corresponding with a friend who's facing some tough times and really just starting to spiral into the pit of despair. And over the course of a couple emails, and I'd met with him a few weeks earlier, and I said, hold on now, but before this gets out of hand, let me give you some instructions right from Scripture and follow these instructions to a T before we continue this dialogue. And I gave him Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And here's what it says. These are the instructions. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. And then it goes on to say this. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That pinnacle point in these instructions was thank him for what he has done. And then watch what happens. You know, friends, when we're despairing, sometimes we just have to say, okay, I'm not going to trust my feelings. Here's what I'm going to do. Not worry about anything. Instead, I'll pray about everything. I'll tell God what I need, and I will thank him for all he's done. Thank him for all he's done. Thank him for all he's done, and watch what happens. Watch what happens. Then you experience God's peace, which is passes understanding. His peace will guard your hearts as we live in Christ Jesus. And remember, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I think about Daniel. We studied the book of Daniel, and there's this moment in Daniel where, you know, if you didn't know the whole story, you're like, wow, what's going to happen here? Like, what is going to take place here with Daniel? And here's what was happening. All the important people of the kingdom were conspiring against Daniel, and they're rallying this political agenda that will make it impossible for Daniel to worship his God, or he'll get executed. Lion's den manner. And so Daniel's facing this. And watch what happens. Watch what he does. It's in Daniel 6. Royal administrators, starting with verse 7. The royal administrators, the prefects, the satraps, the advisors, and governors, these are all the important people, have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So, King Darius put it in writing. He did. He put it in writing. Verse 10, now Daniel, when he learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Now, I don't know about you. I would probably get down on my knees and cry out to God and say, why me, Lord? What have you done? Rescue me, God. He started with gratitude, giving thanks to his God. He prayed, of course, but not without gratitude. And you know the rest of the story. I mean, I don't even have to tell you the rest of the story. Daniel's gratefulness, his courage, his willingness to follow God despite the decree led to his rescue. They threw him in the lion's den. He was not harmed at all. In fact, you know what happened as a result? The entire kingdom was told that they had to worship the Lord. They were all directed to worship whoever Daniel's God is because God rescued him. Where was the pinnacle moment in that, what transpired? Him giving thanks. You see how powerful it is to be grateful, to give thanks? Three times a day, he got down and thanked the Lord. What if he didn't? What if Daniel just despaired and said, God, why have you forsaken me? You know, I'm turning my back on you. We don't know, but he didn't. He was courageous, and he prevailed in gratitude, prevailing in gratitude. When we come to the Lord with that kind of gratitude, regardless of what comes against us, we will be victorious. We will prevail. If we do not despair, we will prevail. And again, I mentioned that in worship, because when we come to worship and we start with thanksgiving, look out. That's the deepest worship you'll ever experience if it begins with thanksgiving. Think about Psalm 104. Let's take that apart. It says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. All right, think about this. Suppose you're in the olden days of the kingdoms and the temples. You approach a city or a palace or a kingdom or a castle, and there's a gate keeping you out. And when you take your key of thanksgiving out, it unlocks the gate. And now you enter his gates with thanksgiving. And what's beyond the gates? The courts. That's where all the good stuff happens for those who are able to get past the gates. And that's where we experience the praise. And we continually give thanks. As we approach worship, if we start with thanks, it opens those gates. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. And as we enter into the deeper part, there's praise. And that's where we experience his presence. And friends, it all starts with thanksgiving. I sometimes say, enter his gates with thanksgiving and watch what happens. You'll have the best worship times you've ever had. Thankfulness to the Lord. There's a phrase that shows up in the Old Testament, and particularly in Psalms, multiple times. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. In Psalm 107, it says this. Verse 19, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalms was written in Hebrew, so if it was in Hebrew, it would say, Hodu la'adonai ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. Let me teach you that. Let's say that together. Hodu. Let me hear you say Hodu. L apostrophe Adonai. La Adonai. Ki tov. All right, right away, you just said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now this, ki le'olam. Chasdo. Chasdo. And if you do it right, it's productive. Chasdo. Hodu la Adonai. Ki tov. Ki le'olam. Chasdo, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. If you just remember the first part, Hodu la'adonai, ki tov, give thanks to the Lord, he's good. Say that at Thanksgiving. You'll impress all your family and friends. They might not hand over the biscuits to you. They'll pull out some matzah and give you that instead, but you'll have a really good time. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his love, or his loving kindness, or his mercy, chasdo, or chesed, endures le'olam, forever. Think about that. And when we think about the goodness of God, it's not temporary. It's not minimal. It's the goodness of God that endures forever. His mercy, his loving kindness endures forever. It's so important, friends, that we remain grateful people. I think about Jesus. You know, he liked to be thanked. And there was that story where he cleanses 10 lepers. You know, leprosy is an incurable, highly contagious disease. If you had leprosy, you basically were ostracized from society until you do society a favor and die. That's how they treated lepers. And Jesus encounters 10 of them, heals them all. Only one said thank you. Luke 17:11 says this. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. So they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. He didn't go lay hands on them. He could have. Sometimes maybe he would have. But here, he just spoke the word of healing faith to them, and they responded. And the priests were the ones that decide who has leprosy and who's not, who is unclean and who's not. And they went, and as they went, as they walked, they were just regenerated. They were healed and cleansed. And as they're walking away, one of them stopped, it says here in verse 15. One of them, when he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? So you hear the disappointment? Jesus likes to be thanked. He likes to be thanked. And that's why in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks to the Lord. Don't complain. Don't act presumptuously or don't act irreverently. Thank him. I know it's, you know, maybe for provision. You want to thank him for him providing. Listen, maybe you don't have all that you need for the rest of your life, but you had daily bread for today. Thank him. And thank him for your health. Maybe you say, health, I'm more aches and pains every day, and I have a serious condition. You're here. You're breathing. You're living. Thank him for your health. And most importantly, thank him for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank him for the cross. Why? Because he died on the cross. He sacrificed his life. He suffered so that you and I can have eternal life. If he didn't, we couldn't. Jesus even said, is there another way? He was determined that it wasn't. He said, not my will, but your will be done. And he went through with it, the suffering of the cross. And because he did, we have eternal life. We don't need to fear death. We know that when these lifespans end, we enter into an eternal weight of glory. We enter into paradise with Jesus, where he is, and preparing a place we go because of the cross. So we thank him. Don't just ignore gratitude in that regard. Thank him for the cross. I want to close with this scripture from Colossians 3, and I want to close with a gratitude that lasts for the rest of our service, or rest of our time here, the rest of the week, into your Thanksgiving table, when everyone else is debating politics and talking about family quarrels, you're giving thanks, and it will be contagious, contagious. So let's read this in Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Being thankful, verse 15. With gratitude in your hearts, verse 16, and give thanks, verse 17. And let's say it again together in Hebrew. Hodu, la'adonai, ki tov, ki le'olam, kazdo. Hodu, la'adonai, ki tov, ki le'olam, kazdo. To give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever.